Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our gospel reading from John chapter 10. And in verses 14 and 15, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And I lay down my life for the sheep." This is our text. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This morning, every one of you will hear everything that is said, read, and sung in this service. But now let's get real. Even though everyone will hear everything here, the reality is that not every one of you will listen to everything that is said, read, and sung in this service. You see, listening is much more involved. It takes effort. It requires a true desire to actually engage with whatever it is that's going on. We hear things all the time, but we actually only listen to a very small portion of all that we hear. And today, with our current technology and social media, our phones at the ready, etc., there is an even greater amount of voices and messages bombarding us. And to be honest, for most of us, it's just plain overwhelming for us to try and know what voice, what voices we should listen to. But still, none of us can just give up in despair or frustration. No, as God's redeemed and beloved children in Christ, it is crucial that we take seriously the sheer quantity of voices bombarding our eardrums and our eyeballs each day, so that we might be able to faithfully discern who and what gets our attention. And so it stands to reason that we ought to listen to those who actually care about us, right? But do we always recognize who that is? Whatever and whoever it is that is the source of those voices coming at you each day, almost all of them want you to believe that they care about you. That their first priority is what you need. That's why almost every voice on the radio, in the podcast, on TV, or whatever your favorite social media platform might be, begins by trying to connect to some problem, some need that you have or feel. And then, once they've hooked you, they try to make you believe that they have the answer, the solution to your problem or issue. And all you need to do is get their product, or tap into their program, or become a part of their group, or join their movement. And then your future, they tell you, will be so much better. But here's the problem. Do those people, do those companies, do those advocacy groups really truly care about you? Who really loves me and actually wants what's best for me? Most of them only want you so that they can get your money, or they can advance their agenda. I'm sorry to say it, but you and I are very often nothing but pawns to help them get what they want. So how do we know who actually cares? Our scripture reading today on this Good Shepherd Sunday speaks directly to this. It teaches us that Jesus, He is the shepherd who cares deeply for you, whose love for you and me is unlike any and all others in this entire world. The people in Jesus' day, they had heard a lot from spiritual leaders. Those voices had spanned many generations, voices from long ago, like Moses and the prophets. Those were faithful, caring voices that proclaimed and recorded God's loving words in the sacred scriptures. But in more recent years, actually for the last four centuries at the time of our text, the prophets had been silent. And the ones they had now, who were supposed to be teaching and interpreting God's word and scripture for them, they had become much less than faithful. The Pharisees, the chief priests, mostly Sadducees, they were not concerned about what was best for the needs of God's people, but instead they were now self-serving shepherds, protecting their own places of honor and influence. And then Jesus came along. And his voice, it was totally different. It was the voice of someone who cared. Really, truly, lovingly cared. Jesus said of his Gentile sheep, that's you and me, by the way, in verse 16. He said, they will listen to my voice. And how would they know what he cares that he cares for them and their needs? Because Jesus not only used his voice as God's word, but as John says in verse 16 of our epistle reading, Jesus' love for us was actually put into action. Quote, he laid down his life for us. Now, the original Greek in both our gospel and our epistle readings is much more precise than our English translation has it. It uses the Greek word hyper that specifies that Jesus laid down his life not just for us, but on behalf of us, for the sake of us, instead of us. Wrap all of those together, and that's the meaning of the Greek text. So when Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, he's highlighting a contrast. Now, the word good can be translated as noble and excellent. The job of a shepherd, that was not an easy one. It was tiring and hazardous. And Jesus is directly comparing his job of shepherding with those bad shepherds like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They are what he calls in verse 12 the hired hands. They are the ones who have little or no concern and commitment toward the sheep, like all of the voices around us in our world today. When danger came, at that time, like the Roman occupiers, those Jewish shepherds didn't care about God's flock, but only about their own self-preservation, their own self-interests. The good shepherd, though, he owns the sheep. He's committed heart, mind, and soul to the sheep. Unlike those bad shepherds, Jesus cares for his sheep. And he will do anything, whatever is necessary to protect them. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus says, as the good shepherd in verse 11, that he lays down his life for the sheep. This is what sets Jesus apart from all other shepherds. Most shepherds, they will try to protect their sheep, but they will draw the line at dying for their sheep. But Jesus, he cares so much that he is willing to come in between his sheep and any and all danger. The hired hand won't risk his life for just a bunch of dumb, misbehaving, and wandering sheep. No, he disappears, trying to save his own skin. But Jesus, he's willing to die on behalf of, in the place of, his sin-filled, yet fully redeemed sheep. Why would he do such a thing? Something totally against what makes any sense to our worldly way of thinking. Why? Well, there is Jesus' obligation, I suppose you could say, to act according to God's all-knowing will. But even more, much more, this Good Shepherd Jesus has a deep and profound commitment to his sheep, the ones whom he loves more than himself. You might remember a different image from Paul in Ephesians 5, verse 25, where he says that, quote, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Same word in the Greek, by the way. That is, he surrendered his very life for his beloved bride. This is an important point because it shows that Jesus was not a victim up there on the cross. He wasn't forced to endure that suffering and shame. No, in verse 18, he clarifies the point. He says, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus offered himself as the sacrifice, and he also took back his life in the resurrection. I lay down my life that I may take it up again. That's the totality of God's plan for his sheep. Jesus' sacrificial death in the place of his sheep. And his resurrection in victory over death. Again, on behalf of his sheep. Jesus chose the term shepherd to identify himself. But remember, shepherd was the term used to describe those other people tending to God's flock as well. Now, at its core, the term just simply describes those who have spiritual oversight in Scripture. In our first reading from Acts chapter 4, we actually see the contrast between those other shepherds, the Jewish authorities, and those who serve as under-shepherds to the Good Shepherd. It's there that we see Christ's apostles, those under-shepherds, Peter and John, under arrest, standing before the Jewish council. Their crime? Well, they healed the man who was lame, and then preached to the crowds that Jesus, the resurrected Christ, is the one who made it happen. Because these Jewish leaders were the same guys who crucified Jesus, Acts 4 verse 2 says that Peter's message greatly annoyed them. Why is that? They were jealous. Because the people were listening, not just hearing, were listening to Christ's preachers. These guys were upset. Because Peter and John were claiming that Jesus, whom they tried to kill, was alive. Now, can you imagine going to all of the trouble of crucifying someone only to hear his followers show up in your preaching spot, no less, in the temple, and tell everyone that your crucifixion didn't stick? But Peter, he's quick to point out the irony in this when he asks the rulers of the people and elders, in effect, are you guys upset with us because of a good deed that we did to a crippled man? You see, Peter's calling these guys to task. What kind of leaders find fault with an act of kindness? Is that the kind of shepherds you guys are? And make no mistake, Peter knew that the shepherd whom he served cared for his sheep with acts of kindness as good as, and actually even far greater than, the healing that he had just been a part of. And so Peter declared in Acts 4, verse 10, it is, quote, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. Yes. Jesus was, of course, the one behind that loving, healing, caring, kind action. For he is the foundation of faith. He is the way to eternity in heaven. He is the source and the cause and the sustainer of our salvation. This message of the resurrection that Peter proclaimed, it transforms lives radically for good. And that's why, folks, that we make such a big deal about it. Why we proclaim it still today, far and wide. Because when the truth of God's victory over death is not just heard, but is actually internalized into a person's life, then he or she becomes an entirely new creation. It begins with saving faith in Christ, but then it grows and it matures into sincere love, into care for others, as we show Jesus' love to those around us when we treat them in his love, when we care for their needs, when we are kind to them in the name of the Good Shepherd. And it is all about the Good Shepherd from beginning to end, because he never ever closes his heart to his sheep. He is, in fact, the one in whom God's saving words and promises of extreme and perfect love actually have become love in the flesh. Jesus is how God reached out to touch us, to care for us, to help us, to save us. Jesus broke through all of the chatter, all of the self-serving earthly noise, and he became God's Word in flesh. God himself, living, dwelling with us. And even today, after he has now physically taken up his throne in heaven, Jesus still lives among us here through his Spirit. He still cares physically for us here, in his body of believers, the Holy Christian Church. In verses 14 and 15, Jesus promises, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now think of the gravity of what he just said. There is no more intimate relationship than that of the Father and Jesus, his Son. And yet Jesus tells us that in the same beautiful and profound way that he and the Father know each other, as our shepherd, he knows us and our needs. Every single thing that is truly important to you and to me. This is how David was able to say literally in Psalm 23, Yahweh is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Now Jesus, when he says, I am the good shepherd, makes it clear that yes, he is Yahweh. You and I, friends, we have the same shepherd as King David. The name Jesus means Yahweh saves. He is my shepherd, your shepherd too. And so we trust him with every ounce of our being to lead, guide, renew, and restore our lives and spirits. Maybe we've strayed. Maybe we've gone our own way. But He still loves us. He still cares for us. Even when we face that final great enemy, death, we know with certainty that He is with us. His perfect words, His all-powerful actions, they comfort us. And just as He promised, He is with us all the days of our lives, protecting and leading us home to paradise. So friends, what does God want you to hear from Him today? Two words. Two words that are deeply profound and life-changing. For you. Your loving and caring Good Shepherd speaks those two words personally to you as He comes to you here in His divine service this morning. In the words of the absolution that you've already heard, in the words of today's scripture readings that you've already heard, in this message right now, and in a moment as He serves you His true body and blood in and with ordinary bread and wine. Yes, it's here among His ordinary sheep that Jesus speaks and acts on your behalf, giving out His extraordinary love and care. Do you simply hear Him? Or are you listening to Him? Are you seeing it with the eyes of your faith? Right now, Jesus gives Himself personally. And it is all for you. The one who goes with you today, the one who goes with you out into this week, your shepherd, He cares. He has given it all for you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen.